Ferguson, Missouri may be more than 1,000 miles away from Boston, but it's no stretch to say that events in the St. Louis suburb continue to resonate deeply among residents here. This city is no stranger to the difficult issues of race, community, and law enforcement. So several Bostonians have traveled to Ferguson, including faith leaders Reverend Osagyefo Sekou and the Reverend Eugene Rivers. They attended today's funeral services for Michael Brown, the young man shot and killed by a police officer in Ferguson earlier this month. Reverend Charles Ewing, Brown's uncle, spoke at this morning's service.
When I went to my sister's house, I walked down to the space, the area where he laid. And I noticed the police department had washed away some of the blood, but there was yet some residue that remained in that spot. And as I went home, I began to speak to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit talked to me so plainly. The accounts of everything, the accounts of the testimony that Mike had left on record.
Though nightly clashes between protesters and police seem to have diminished somewhat in Ferguson, people continue to wonder. If police shot an unarmed black teenager in Boston, how would the community here respond? Here's Eugene Rivers, co-founder of Boston's 10-Point Coalition.
This does not happen in Boston because there are bridges, right? There are bridges. There are controversial black clergy, there are black clergy, and it is now accepted as standard operating procedure. In less than a half hour in Boston, if there was a major incident, there'd be phone calls made to a half a dozen significant black church leaders in the city. They would meet. If it were 2 o'clock in the morning, that would happen. Now, you don't have those relationships here.
And when Eugene Rivers was saying the word here, he meant Ferguson because he is currently in Ferguson, Missouri. Well, Jeanette Quinn is someone who knows both Boston and Ferguson well. She lives in Jamaica Plain now, but lived in Ferguson until she was 10 years old. She joins us in the studio. Jeanette, welcome.
Thank you. Welcome.
So you were one of the many Bostonians who decided to go to Ferguson after Michael Brown's shooting and the unrest that happened thereafter. You hadn't been there since you were 10 years old. I mean, what was it about this particular moment that made you want to go back?
Well, I guess for me, Ferguson was always this small little town that no one had ever heard about. But for me, it also had, you know, these very powerful but distant memories. And so when suddenly Ferguson exploded in the news, it was just, I just felt compelled.
Right. And so when you went there, you spent five days there,
yeah,
talking to people. You were on West Florissant Avenue, where the sort of epicenter of the protests were. I mean, was it the same Ferguson that you had left as a child so many years ago, as a 10-year-old?
I would say some parts of it. So I lived a couple blocks from South Ferguson. So there were some areas that were that nothing had changed, and that was pretty remarkable, but also kind of comforting, I guess. I don't remember really spending time on West Florissant as a child, so.
Mm-hmm. And so, when you went there and you were talking to people, what did they tell you about this town that you had left so long ago? What were the stories that were being shared with you?
People were saying that this was a very tight-knit community and that they wanted peace and justice and that they wanted the looting and the rioting to end. So I went down every morning around 7 a.m. and what I found were people so friendly. Everybody was so friendly. And people were carrying plastic bags and brooms, and everybody was cleaning up. And then there were other people who were bringing food, massive amounts of food. So it seemed like everybody's concern was to get back to the community that they had known, not to continue the status quo, but to return to peace.
And, I mean, eventually everyone hopes that is possible sooner rather than later. But what, I mean, in talking to people and also your experience growing up there, I mean, what do you think are the obstacles currently in the way to that peace, if any?
I definitely think communication. And I think that the voter registration, that, you know, there are so few, I think only less than 12% of the population is registered to vote. Maybe there's apathy there. But I think, you know, when I was talking with everybody, they felt like they needed to, that this was opening a dialogue and that they wanted a conversation to continue. And now, for the first time, they said, there's a chance. There's a chance that we can move forward. Mm-hmm. And people overall, I think, were very positive. They certainly weren't positive that there would be justice, but they were positive that they could move forward.
Right. Now, if I may, since this is the radio, I just want to... You're white, and but the majority of the residents of Ferguson are black. When you were young there, and I don't know how aware young people are when they're less than 10 years old, but when you were growing up there, I mean, did you get any sense of racial tensions or this disparity between the majority black citizenry and law enforcement or white leaders in Ferguson?
Right. So when I was growing up, it was majority white, which I didn't know that then, but now I know. Although I do remember, I went to South Central Elementary School, and I remember when they first started busing. So I remember the first year that there was a black girl in my school.
In Ferguson.
Okay. And she and I became friends. And I remember going to her house and being absolutely, utterly shocked by the conditions of her neighborhood.
Oh, okay. So that's an interesting connection there. I mean, I guess my final question to you is, coming now back here to Jamaica Plain, to Boston, after your 5 days in Ferguson, how do you reflect on our city here in terms of what you learned about race and community in returning to Ferguson?
Oh, so I guess the first thing that I noticed when I got back to JP was that it's pretty white. You know, I mean, so in Ferguson, I felt like it was pretty integrated everywhere I went, and I was really conscientious. I really wanted to see how well people were integrated, and I saw black and white together throughout the city. And then I come to JP, and I was walking around JP, the pond, and it just seemed like it actually seemed more segregated than Ferguson. So that was kind of a interesting insight.
Well, Jeanette Quinn lives in Jamaica Plain, but she lived in Ferguson, Missouri until she was 10 years old, and she recently returned there following the unrest after the police shooting of Michael Brown. Jeanette, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.